Well, most of the time on Mondays is Brent Beard of First Coast News, College Sports Notebook, co-host of the SEC and Helping podcast. Brent, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm excited because this time of year, we're back in fall camp. We finally get some answers to some questions that we've been looking for. We'll get more answers and more updates on teams this week than we've gotten since the end of spring practice. So that to me is what is exciting about it, in just getting going. Again, Florida State's already started. Florida starts the 4th, I believe, or their media day's coming up this week. So that's a good thing about it is we're back and going.
Yeah, we definitely are, and it has been an interesting talking season, as they call it. One of the things, and we didn't even get to talk about SEC media days since they happened, because you were there covering it. I was gone on vacation last week, but out of all of the things that were said over the course of that week, Brent, what maybe stood out the most to you? If there was a certain coach who had said something that really stood out, or if there was anything that was brought up over the course of that week?
Oh, I thought the Billy Napier did fine in his first appearance. So did Brian Kelly. Was impressed. I thought Brian Horson did a really good job. I mean, he faced the big gorilla in the room, as he said, the coup that didn't work head on, and yep. Did a nice job at Sankey. The big thing coming out there, I thought, was probably Oklahoma and Texas coming in 2025. They really need to get that done sooner, frankly. And I think the sooner they get that done, the better, all in all. But, I enjoyed it. I don't enjoy it being Atlanta. The logistics are just not good, is a problem with that. So, because of that, but look, I love to go. I try to go to all of them, certainly as many of them as I can. And anybody in the media, if they ever get a chance to go, it's well worth it. That's kind of it. All in all, it was a good week. The biggest question that came out of it we don't have answered yet what happens and is happening with Chris Rodriguez, the running back at Kentucky. There's some questions about his availability, his status, and we just don't know that yet. So that's something to wait, watch on, and just kind of see where that goes, because that's going to be extremely important, whether he plays and how much he plays.
I was going to say, because you look at this Kentucky roster, they bring back a great number of players. You got one of the hotter head coaches in college football right now in Mark Stoops, where he seems to be getting nothing but compliments based on what he's been able to do there. And the production that Chris Rodriguez brought last year, I mean, he ran for over 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns, averaged 6.1 yards per carry. I mean, how as good as their offense may be with Will Levis as quarterback, how important and pivotal is Chris Rodriguez to balancing out that offense and really being a go-to guy out of the backfield for them?
Chris Rodriguez is a 1,000 to 1,200 yard rusher a year. So if you've got him, you're much better off. And that will determine their season, I think, whether or not he plays, because they lost Wandale Robinson.
Right.
Who is a real playmaker for them. So that's the thing that that they've got to have weapons, and they've got to have Rodriguez.
One of the interesting things that I saw, and I didn't hear this from Kirby Smart, but I read that it was suggested by him that he thinks that the Georgia-Florida game, or Florida-Georgia game, however you pronounce it, should not be neutral site anymore, and it should be moved on campus because you cannot bring recruits to neutral site games. And I thought, well, that's an intriguing thought. Obviously, there's some people who would say, look, it's the greatest cocktail party in all college football. The environment is almost unbeatable, but being able to bring recruits to rivalry games, I think it can show a recruit something that maybe give them an experience that they wouldn't necessarily get in a Georgia-Tennessee game or what have you. Have somebody who's in that area in Jacksonville, Brent, what are your thoughts on that potentially happening? Do you think that ever would be a change that is made in that rivalry matchup?
I hope not. It and I'm selfish here, but it deserves to be in Jacksonville. They've got it until after 2023. There's an option of 2 years at that point. So they are trying to. I think even now, get something negotiated with it. Listen, having this game in Jacksonville has zero. Zilch, nada to do with Georgia's recruiting.
Yeah.
That's just absolute unmitigated foolishness because Georgia the last 5 years has been either 1, 2, or 3 in recruiting. So them having a weekend in Jacksonville means nothing, Drew. Nothing. They're fine in recruiting. If they want a home game, just say they want another home game. That's the thing you need to do. So hopefully that's what they'll do is keep it in Jacksonville, and we go from there.
We're in this little, and there's a lot of conversations obviously going on. We're getting into camp, and there's some teams who have already obviously started doing some of their practices and everything like that. But one of the things that's been brought up is this idea of expanding the playoff, and you've got name, image, and likeness stuff and guidelines that need to be set. That was a popular question for all of the coaches for all of the media days, it seemed like, in conference realignment and all of these things. If you were to say, I guess if you were to put in a tier of how you think of importance now, I might have asked you this a little bit earlier in the year, but now with all the stuff going on, if you could tier NIL, transfer portal, college football realignment and expansion of the playoff in terms of importance currently and figuring it out, what do you think would come first?
The playoffs expanding. I've said that for years. The mistake we've made is we didn't get the playoffs right at the beginning. And if we had, I think a lot of this would have fallen into place. And that they would see the reality is if you expand the playoffs, you're giving these other conferences and other teams a lot of excitement and access to be in the playoffs where they normally wouldn't be there. So I've always thought quit pretending like you got to protect the bowls. The bowls don't need protection. They're fine. Mm. But get the playoffs done, and then a lot of this other stuff will go.
So I saw this brought up, and this is with the automatic qualifiers being a big deal or not being a big deal. Obviously, you know, schools like Alabama, it doesn't matter to Coach Saban as to whether or not, you know, they get an automatic qualifier. Greg Sankey was asked about it, and the whole automatic qualifier thing, I don't know, is that the number one issue when it comes to talking about the playoff, or could it even be the number of teams? Because I saw something that suggested that maybe even 16 teams could be at the table in the next discussions for expansion.
Yeah. Well, that's what came out of the Big Ten media days was the possibility of going to 16. Now, I think their best number is probably 12. because there's some question with 16 end up maybe being a problem with diluting the season. But look, I take 16. I wouldn't have any problem with that either. But no, that, they floated that out there as a real possibility. I don't know if the SEC would go along with 16. That's the only thing right now you don't know about. But these conferences don't have a choice. That they need to get in line. They need to be unanimous. And the sooner they can, they would get this done. So yes.
It certainly seems like it's a lot of everybody wants to be on the boat, but nobody really knows who's the one piloting the boat or who's steering the boat exactly right now. But everybody wants to be involved. They want to make sure that they're not left out in any sort of a discussion, whether it's realignment, whether it is college football expansion. If we do go to 16 teams theoretically, there's a couple of ways you could do this. Do you think that there would be six automatic qualifiers? Say it's 12. Are there going to be six AQs? And then from there, you go with the six at large after that? Or in a way, that would include all of the five conferences, the Power Fives, and then you include the best group of five teams, say it's Cincinnati like it would have been from last year, inside that top six, and then you have the best teams after that. Is that the best way to go about this, Brent? Or do you think that there's...
They want as few automatic qualifiers as possible. And the reason is, here's your thought process. They'd rather have the best 16 teams. Their concern is, heaven forbid, you have an upset in the conference championship game, and you've got something akin to you've got a say a 8-4, 9-3 team that ends up in the playoffs because they upset somebody.
Sure.
So that's a danger you've always got in those situations. So that's why they don't want a lot of automatic qualifiers just because they win the conference. That's important. I have no question about that. I think what you'll see will be a situation of they would just get the top 12 or 16 teams.
Again, speaking with Brent Beard of First Coast News, co-host of the SEC and Helping Podcast. Final thought here, Brent. You mentioned Billy Napier, and I thought he performed well. I thought he did well as Brian Kelly. Anthony Richardson was asked. I thought it was an interesting question. He was asked about if a situation comes up where Florida's dropping a couple of games in a row, does he think that Coach Napier and himself can lead the team in a way where things don't crumble like they seemed to last year? And he had talked about, you know, having each other's back and all of those things. I thought it was a really interesting question. And I think that the impression that Billy Napier has given is that he's got the culture set right, where the players like him a lot, the boosters like him a lot, the fans like him a lot. Where a situation like that comes up, he's able to gather the troops, if you will, and make sure that things don't really get out of control, kind of like they seemed to last year with Dan Mullen.
I think he's better organized. I think they'll develop players better, and they'll certainly recruit better. I don't think there's any question about that. And that would be a challenge. Would agree with that totally. But yes, in the long run, I think they'll be able to handle that adversity better with Napier than they did with Mullen. By the way, a lot of speculation that Mullen will be an analyst on ESPN. Now, he would be okay with that, Drew. As far as drawing up plays, talking about quarterbacks in offense, he'd be as good as anybody with that.
Yeah.
What the The embarrassing thing for him would be if he has to deal with any real recruiting questions, that's where it could get rather ticklish, frankly.
Yeah, it definitely would. I was thinking to myself, what happens if there's a game where they're talking about the Florida Gators and what Billy Napier is doing there? I don't know if they would just completely avoid a situation like that, try to avoid putting him in that sort of a deal. But I think that definitely is one of the intriguing things with, hey, ESPN has got a lot of SEC football games. Florida's on there a lot. If Dan Mullen got to talk about the Gators, it would be interesting to see the questions posed his way.
I hope they do something, and I'm not saying he couldn't do it, but the truth of the matter is they would be smart to leave Mullen out of Gator games.
Yeah.
Now, what you don't know is he just going to be in the studio, or are they going to actually use him for game day? So I don't really think that what I read that I think that was probably going to be more of a studio type situation. I'm not saying he'd be on game day. I mean, he might, but he wouldn't be one of the top four, obviously. But the we'll see, but frankly, I mean, he was on at the SEC championship game and did a credible job. So I think as far as just being an analyst, he probably would do the same.
I would think so too, and I'm with you. I think it's going to be more of the studio stuff that he does. I think he would be a very solid studio analyst going through the different things that come up throughout a game or coaching or what have you. But again, Brent, appreciate the time. As always, you have a good rest of the week, and looking forward to the rest of this month getting prepped and primed and all ready for this college football season.
Good. Thanks, bud. Take care.